Our first reading today is from Psalm 145, verses 8 to 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and Creator's compassion is over all that is made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendour of your kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all words and gracious in all deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. And our second reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others. We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a demon. Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved to be right by her works. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. In this is the word of the Lord.
Today's text from Matthew's Gospel talks about yokes and burdens, and it's a well-known passage from the Bible. From the surface, it sounds really nice and comforting. It sounds too good to be true, to come to Jesus and offload your troubles and your burdens onto him and to walk away refreshed and lightened in life. Well, that's how I've read it in the past. But when you read it and you read it again and you read it again and read it again, you might begin to think otherwise. The text doesn't actually say my yoke. In fact, there's no reference to my yoke at all, but only to Jesus' yoke. So if Jesus has a yoke, which, like I talked about earlier, then we share his yoke. To be joined with Jesus means to share the load and to walk together in his way. Let me teach you, he says, which is a call to discipleship rather than a dump and run. Jesus says that the yoke that he has for us is easy. And the Greek word chestos is better translated as well-fitting or a good fit, suitable, or even useful. Good to do. So being linked to Jesus is a good-fitting call. A call to the way of Jesus, to his way, to God's way. So the invitation is to come to Jesus and share his load and his way. We in turn invite others to link up with them, and with them with Jesus, and them with us. And this way of Jesus is none other than the way of God love. Love one another. Forgive one another. Bless those who persecute you. Seek justice for the needy. The burden of love is light. The invitation is an invitation to discipleship, to come and follow his way. And this way is open for all to come. Come to me, anyone, everyone, follow me. Take up my yoke and follow me. Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible captures the essence of this when he writes, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I think a good translation. How does Jesus do this? How can he offer this? Well, a few verses before, Jesus declares that the Father, or God, or Yahweh, has handed all things over to him. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So here Jesus is saying he is one with God, one with the very wisdom of God, the way of God, one as God. "I will give you rest," he says. "Take my yoke." Jesus isn't saying it's the Father's yoke or God's way, but come to me, my way, me, mine, I. This is wisdom speaking. This is Old Testament wisdom. This is the Spirit whispering. This is the Logos or the Word of God. When you connect with me and you take up my yoke, you connect with God's ways and God's ways of doing things. In Christ comes the one who seeks to bring relief, justice, liberation, peace, mercy, and calls us to share that with others, to live the Jesus way. And when we look at the world, it's not all that difficult to notice the fractured nature and feel somewhat despondent. From poverty, unjust economic and power relations between rich and poor, slavery of human trafficking, exploitation of the planet's resources, corruption of businesses and governments across the world, wars, conflicts, struggles for rights, reconciliation, global pandemic and racism. We might feel that human capacity alone cannot address these burdens and the struggles that we face. It's increasingly important then that people of faith resist the temptation of cynicism and pessimism and allow ourselves to be empowered and inspired by the Christ we follow. It's increasingly necessary for us to live our faith in our daily choices that impact the realities of our world and extending Christ's invitation to others. Now, this doesn't always mean or necessarily mean preaching or seeking to convert others, but it's more likely to mean working and walking alongside others, being yoked together to the least to ease their burden and stand up against unjust systems and institutions that oppress and enslave. It might mean allowing our faith and our hope to inspire what we choose to buy, eat or dress or drive, or how we even vote. It means praying, thinking and learning globally while acting and contributing locally. At its heart, Christ's invitation is more than just a personal experience of peace and rest. It is a call to those to draw others to Christ, to spread Christ's peace and mercy as far as we can. And that's called discipleship. And how do we do this? By recognizing that the weary and the burdened are all around us. They're in every family, in every community, and every neighborhood. The broken ones, the weary ones, the tired ones are us. They're the ones we live with. This is why Christ's invitation is such a wonderful life-giving promise. And we need only be committed enough to Christ's invitation that we will not keep it to ourselves, but to seek to share it with others. It's when we open our arms and the doors of our churches to all people, whoever they may be, that we offer rest and love and care and inspiration instead of the burden of judgment and guilt. It's when we live simply and generously, resisting the temptation to hoard and to accumulate and to consume more than we need, that we bring rest to those who struggle to survive. It is when we work within our community to bring about change to unjust laws and to take notice of the hurting and the vulnerable ones and welcome those that we would not normally associate with. It's when this prayer becomes a reality. So please join with me in prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me plant or sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Amen. This prayer may be countercultural and not the way of our world, but it speaks of a Jesus way. A gracious, inclusive openness that can offer an alternative, a way of being in this often burdensome world.